Call the January 8th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Finnis?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
We have a full house. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance. In 9 months, I've learned to be a little careful when I stand up to do the Pledge of Allegiance so I don't knock the city attorney over with the chair. Item one, we did call the roll. We have a full quorum, and our meeting is properly posted. Item 2A, approval of minutes, regular meeting of Thursday, December 18th. Any additions or corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 3. 3A, Stephen C. Valente, doing businesses Color and Design Studios, LLC. Moving into a building in the business park. Mr. Fuchs.
There is a public hearing notice. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, January 8th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by Stephen C. Valente, doing business as Color and Design Studio, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title number 7532, Top and Body Repair and Paint Shops, to allow for an auto body shop business use, providing metal repair, modifications, fabricating, paint restoration, and refinishing for classic, collector, and special interest vehicles within the existing building upon property zoned M1 Limited Industrial District, located at 9760 South 60th Street.
This is a public hearing for a special use application. We'll ask Mr. Deedle to give us a presentation on the project and ask the representatives from the owners to please come on forward. You can have a seat if you like. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. On the screen is an aerial view of the property in the vicinity. 9670, the building with the white roof, is the subject building. As you can tell, it's an existing lot, an existing building. They're not proposing any significant changes to the site. There will probably be some additional vents, air handling unit, those kinds of things, but that's about it. One of the conditions that staff has is to fix the parking lot. So that's the extent of the exterior site changes. Most of the changes are occurring inside the building. As the public hearing noticed, they're proposing to have a painting and body shop in here. It's an existing business located in the business park. They're proposing to expand and do their most of their paint and body shop in this building. There will be like a showroom-like area up front that takes a small portion of the building, but the rest of the building will be for their work. Staff is recommending approval. There's a couple of conditions. Fire department didn't have any concerns. And the only other thing that staff was noting in the report was the current building doesn't meet the current side yard setback requirements or the landscaping requirements. They are proposing to add some additional landscaping, but because it's been this way for so long, staff is saying that the changes that they're proposing, the minimal amount of exterior changes, the additional landscaping, staff is still recommending approval.
And for definition purposes, for zoning purposes, it's called a body shop, but the reality is you're not doing repair work, you're doing restoration on classic cars.
Yeah, it's like primarily restoration, so we're not going to be like a traditional collision shop, running on a late model car where you're running a high volume through there, repairing fenders and hoods and all that fun stuff that goes wrong in weather like today. It's more of a, you know, not mass production, just focus on the classics and special interest on a limited basis.
For the record, could you give us your name and address, please?
Yeah, Stephen Valente, 9848 South 57th Street, Franklin.
And we're happy to have you. This is a public hearing. Would you like to add anything as an introductory, or would you mind we just go into a public hearing?
We'll go to public hearing.
I will open a public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone wishing to speak on this matter? This is a public hearing, and I don't see a rush towards the microphone. With that, I will close the public hearing. Members of the commission, questions for the applicant? Commissioner Thames.
I just have one question regarding the ventilation equipment that you're going to be putting on the roof for your paint room.
Yep.
What is that going to look like?
It's a more of a rectangular stack that I think will stick about 4 to 6 feet the roof surface. It'll be more, like I said, rectangular, maybe about 3 foot wide at the widest point.
So it's basically just an exhaust vent.
An exhaust vent, yeah. And prior to any air coming through, there's all kinds of filters that are in place inside the building.
Between the top of the paint booth and the roof?
Yeah. So it's filtering air coming in, and then as before it exhausts, it filters the air once again before it gets released to the atmosphere.
Okay.
Seeing no more comments, the agenda does contemplate action on this item. Is there action regarding this item? Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for an auto body shop business use upon the property located at 9760 South 60th Street?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Good job, Steve. Right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Item B, Victory of the Lamb. The request is for overnight occupant, well, essentially a campground for Victory of the Lamb for construction purposes. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. As you stated, for all intents and or for most intents and purposes, this will be a temporary camping, overnight lodging for volunteers that they wish to have help build the church. Victory of the Lamb had recently received approved site plan approval for their church. Previously, they even received a rezoning. And so now they're proposing to utilize some volunteer help to build a church, and they're also envisioning that volunteer help would be staying on site while they do that, possibly up to about 4 months, from May to September. Currently, there are no provisions in the UDO for temporary camping. Closest to it would be campgrounds. They are only allowed as a special use within the P1 Park Zoning District. As a special use, it also has a lot of specific standards and criteria set forth in the UDO. And then overnight parking as well is a special use and with a number of conditions as well. Staff does have concerns about potential health and safety issues. Essentially people staying overnight on a construction site. So staff is recommending denial. As usual, however, if the Plan Commission does want to approve this, and it is proposed as a temporary use here, so the Plan Commission could theoretically approve this, we do have a number of suggested conditions for the Plan Commission to consider. Those conditions are, as usual, in the draft resolution, if you would wish to retain those conditions. Those conditions would apply or would involve things such as a more detailed site plan showing what they're proposing to do and where, if any changes would need to occur during the time of construction. For instance, if they were going to construct part of the parking lot with this area that they're temporarily using for parking of the RVs, have to move, how would they accomplish that? We're asking for more details about sewage. Garbage collection, sewage disposal, potable water, electricity, all that to be shown on the site plan, as well as restrictions in terms of no fires, no parties, no fireworks, those kinds of things. And then lastly, staff was suggesting that if there was interest In approving something like this, staff would rather suggest that this be looked at in a more holistic basis, possibly as a special category of temporary use, that this would then be tabled until that could be addressed. Standards would be created for temporary uses of this nature, and then this application could come forward. That would require a UDO text amendment. The applicant has noted that they're in a hurry. They would like an answer right away. But staff is recommending denial.
We've had requests for camping on other occasions, have we not?
Correct.
Similar circumstances, shorter periods of time?
From that standpoint, yes. The type of use, it truly would be more of a camping. And most of those requests were related to Harley Fest. A number of times over the years, one or other property owners were coming forward asking, and in the case of the Milwaukee County Sports Complex, the county came forward asking for approval to allow camping for Harley Fest. Most of the inquiries have been for Harley Fest. There have been one or two others. But from the standpoint of short duration, RVs, camping, it would be similar to this. But the difference being that this has sort of a different purpose or reason behind it. This would be volunteer labor for construction of a building. But again, staff would suggest if this was something the Plan Commission was interested in, to create a type of temporary use with its own set of standards for situations like this, and then apply this request to that newly created type of temporary use. But that, again, would require a UDO text amendment, and which would probably not be acceptable to the applicant based on their time frame concerns.
The applicant here. Come on up, Pastor.
Pastor's in Phoenix. He's enjoying his time there, so I can imagine
sure.
It's not going to be great.
Yes. Your name and address, please, for the record.
My name is Matt Burrell. I'm with Catalyst Construction. We're the construction manager for this project. My business address is 225 East Mason Street, Suite 600 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mr. Burrell, a couple of questions. This is one of those situations where if we deny it, we don't look good, and if we approve it, we don't look good for different reasons. So this is one of those Wisdom of Solomon votes by this commission. How familiar are you with what operations the traveling construction crew want to do?
I'm very familiar with them. In fact, the foreman that would be representing the Builders for Christ is here with us as well, Mark Pamperin. We've done four projects together now, one in Richfield, one in Wauwega, and two in Florida, where they all come in and they'll perform the carpentry services while we maintain and do the concrete work and the building infrastructure and things of that nature. So we are very familiar with their needs, how professional they are, and everything that goes along with that. They are all, for the most part, retired ex-carpentry folks or construction folks. They're well-trained. They're very generous people at their time.
It's not the purview of this commission to worry about contractors' licenses and that kind of thing. But the issue that we have here for the city is that we don't have, as you know, we don't have the ability to approve a campsite.
Right.
My direct question is have you investigated other properly permitted campsites in the area, such as Yogi Bear and the park in Muskego? All have campsites in them.
So part of the stipulation that happens with the Builders for Christ is that they would camp on the site. It's part of the fellowship of the group. Specifically, I have not checked in the other campgrounds. I don't know if others from the church have. At some point, it becomes a diminishing return if we have to spend a lot in housing. Then the savings that we're hoping to help be able to get the project off the ground is an issue. We've done this, like I said, a handful of times. It's done in a very professional manner. We have temporary services, electrical service that's brought in. We bring a temporary holding tank for sewage. We have everything is set up from a lighting perspective. This isn't the first time we've done it. We actually have photographs of other sites that if wanted to be shared with staff, we could share different time as well. But and I don't want the committee to feel like we're trying to, you know, rush this thing through for any particular reason. But the reason it's the timing's important is there's multiple congregations that are asking for their services, and they need to know if we can't go here, then they are going to find other community to go work and help at a church. But it would put Victory of the Lamb at a substantial disadvantage.
Which is part of the issue here with the submission.
The reality is there's a chance a project wouldn't go.
And thanks for saying that. The unfortunate issue that gets put into play here is that we'd love to take care of you, and we may. I'm speaking for myself. But once we say yes to you, then comes the next one, the Harley folks, whoever, that it causes a cascading effect. So I really sincerely wanted to know if you checked out the other sites that aren't a tremendous distance away from the site, still could have the fellowship. It's just over there.
Sure.
Where it's legitimately approved. So I mean, that's the questions I have.
Well, anyone else? Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, Alderman Mayor, after reviewing the staff report, asked me to take a closer look at it, and City Attorney's Office doesn't get into policy, but she was wondering whether or not there were any reasons which might support an approval here, and it's along the lines of the parameters of everything that's been mentioned so far. Number one, with regard to the staff report, mention is made of the 2003 former planner Barato letter to Milwaukee County, speaking in terms of camping not being a special or permitted use within the UDO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and that was the basis, and the Common Council made a decision at that point in time with regard to Harley-Davidson camping. And that wasn't just sports complex. It was a number of areas in the city, as I recall, and cites that as precedent. I see that in no way similar whatsoever. And subsequent to 2003, the UDO was amended to specifically provide for additional temporary uses, additional temporary use provisions. And frankly, I remember working with Ashley F. Booth in drafting that particular ordinance, and there was a window that was left open within the text of the ordinance, which refers to uses not specifically listed within the text, and I believe part of that provision is cited by Mr. Deedle. So the temporary use provision in the UDO contemplates uses which are temporary and may be unusual. Number two, relatively speaking, this is an isolated area. Across the street, I believe that's DNR-owned conservation land at this point in time. Immediately to the south, MMSD conservation land. You've got Loomis Road on the east end. On the north end is the dog care center.
You guys will cause them a lot of trouble.
No immediately proximate residences. With regard to police department, no concerns. Fire department's just looking for access, and I dare say on a construction site there's going to be an access road there anyway, and that's all the fire department is looking for, and normally their comments on just about any project are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. With regard to the health department's looking for some permits that the department says are mandated by some State Department of Health administrative code provision defining camping, et cetera. The memo in the packet said it was attached, but it wasn't, so I'm not too sure. And the staff report cites UDO references to camping and that those are all special uses, et cetera, et cetera. But all those references, when I took a look at them, and as Mr. Deedle said, in the P1, in a park area, it's because there's this recreational intimation or understanding, and if you go back to the 2003, it was a Harley Davidson anniversary party everywhere, and party time with more than six recreational vehicles, and I think back in 2003 it was literally hundreds potentially. That's a totally different scenario. And also that camping was not cited as a permitted or special use. As I indicated earlier, the 2 years later ordinance allowed for these uses not specified. Number two, I'll give you a real world example in that regard, that it's not a permitted or a special use elsewhere in the UDO. How about a concrete batch plant? How about a stone crusher? Well, staff is saying it should be a special or permitted use elsewhere in the UDO. You will not find a concrete batch plant anywhere else in the UDO except as a temporary use in the same ordinance. So it's a listed temporary use, but the temporary use introduction says there may be uses not otherwise listed. So, and the plant commission just permitted one and then disallowed it to continue. And those can go up to 5 acres, and I dare say they're a little more potentially adversary to adjoining properties and the like. And number three, and I have a problem trying not to be humorous once in a while, but here's just a thought, and again, when you get out there, it's the real world. How about this as a hypothetical? Northwestern Mutual Life, for whatever reason, an anniversary or whatever, decides that perhaps it's time for the new Great Willenda to walk between the existing buildings. Is that a permitted or special use? High wire act performance or tightrope walking? I doubt it. But out there in the real world, when things arise, governments do address them. I dare say the city of Chicago doesn't have tightrope walking as a permitted or special use or as a temporary use. I doubt that the city of Niagara Falls, New York does. I doubt that Atlantic City, New Jersey, et cetera, et cetera. So you deal with it. And in terms of precedent, number one, you've got this Frolin related adjoining property concerns. This is a unique area because there's nothing really to impact in the adjoining area. Number two, it does involve not-for-profit entity, and everybody's treated equally or is supposed to be in America, but if there's a rational, reasonable difference, and not-for-profits are treated differently by way of tax exemptions and the like, and even in the city of Franklin, public grants might be awarded, but one of the conditions is it has to be a not-for-profit entity. Number three, it's a construction site. When this issue first arose, or the question first arose, I cited other temporary uses to the planning department, and you can have mobile homes on construction sites for offices, and I don't know that those are limited to, you could only do office work during the daytime, but it's construction site scenario. Just like concrete batch plants are there during the construction, these are temporary construction related uses, and that's why they're incident there too. It's not the primary use. Is construction disallowed on any type of property? So regardless of its zoning, so you get a construction permit, this is incident to the construction. And finally, this particular proposal with regard to not setting precedent is, as the applicant's representative here said earlier, this is an organized, trained construction personnel experienced entity. So there's some security provided there, which those 4 points make this a relatively unique application.
And your notes go in the directory. Any other questions? Commissioner Fowler.
I just got a couple for maybe for Joel or for the city attorney, because being familiar with construction sites and construction trailers, I know for my work, we do not allow any overnight stay in any construction trailers. There's no, usually there's no provision for water. There's no, just heat and electricity, phone lines, and that's it. I don't know if the city has special exemptions. For the, do they have the same kind of rules for construction trailers within the city of Franklin?
I briefly talked to the building inspector. This has never come up before, so that there are no provisions for this. So we, if this is approved, we'll be working on this.
No, but if, when you have a contractor, like on some, if they want to have a construction trailer,
yeah,
do you allow them to stay overnight?
No, we do not.
Okay. Second was the, I have some concern, you know, we say temporary use. So temporary use, is there, in the city of Franklin, do we usually talk about a certain time span? Or is there any kind of precedent for what time span it would be? I mean, this is going to stretch over for 3.5 months.
Some
I would think
temporary
of a temporary use being much shorter.
Have
or is there
time
longer?
Limits, but not all of them.
Well, I'm sorry.
Some temporary uses do have specific time frames set forth in the UDO for them, but not all.
For normal, do we have months, or is it usually days or weeks? I mean, is
days,
it?
90 days.
And then I understand. You know, I really there are campsites available not only in. Muskego, but the Caledonia has campsites. I mean, I kind of looked and Googled some campsites, which are within 15 to 20 minutes of this construction site. And I think back to when they were building the Rock, there were several youth crews that worked from the BMX biking and other groups that stayed at those campsites and had to come over to the Rock. I think if they had approached us, they're not motorcycle bikers, they're pedal bikers, but I don't know, would we have, are we setting ourselves up for other construction sites with volunteers, Volunteers for America, the county park people that want to bring in a group of volunteers that do buckthorn clearing in the and they want to camp because they'll have some of the same issues about funding and lodging. I'm concerned about a precedent being set that we now then, are we then saying yes to one group, no to another, without any guidance. And I guess I turn to the city attorney to see if this sets precedent that we could would be tied to, or does it not? And I think we've had this discussion before. Not on this particularly, but a precedent setting.
Mr. City Attorney.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Fowler mentioned that. Obviously, all these things do tend to be subjective. But with regard to is reminding me of something, there's another component of construction on this property.
Yes, and I'm thinking that myself.
It wouldn't be Builders for Christ. It would be with regard to the ongoing design day program. Mm-hmm.
But does this set a precedent, City Attorney?
I think those 4 points that make this unique, I think, set it apart. I spent some time late this afternoon thinking about, well, where would this come up again? Profit, organized, construction, trained entity, particular piece of property, and it's only for construction purposes, not otherwise.
Mr. Fowler, still the floor.
I'm done.
Mr. Thinnes, Commissioner Thinnes.
In going over this stuff, I was rather agreeable to this situation, and tonight after hearing some more of what he was talking about, especially that the project could be at risk, you know, that's a unique circumstance in itself that helps me decide this. Precedent-wise, you know, every precedent has circumstances attached to it, and those circumstances will vary all over the place. The thing I'm concerned about, really, and this isn't, we call it camping, but this isn't a recreational camping situation. This is like a work camp type of a thing. It's not recreational in nature. As long as it's not families, it's just workers.
Husband and wives, and they have an RV.
Okay.
Not like kids running around a job site or anything.
I noticed the age that they say here is 68 to 70 years old.
Yeah, I think the average age is like 68.
Are the wives volunteer workers also?
Correct.
Okay, and then I'd be concerned that all of the attached recommendations of all of the other departments were adhered to. The safety is a big issue. That's why, you know, construction sites are dangerous places most of the time. And, you know, it's not a place for recreational camping activity.
Right.
It's really only a place for workers that need just shelter and get the project
right.
done.
Exactly.
Mr. City Attorney, then Commissioner Morrow.
Just one more thought. Planning Department, or the Department of City Development, had issues and suggested that a 10th amendment be brought in, that it be allowed as a special use and
or a temporary use, but one of the ones with specific criteria.
I lean back and I think, okay, what's the purpose of that? What is the difference in the real world between getting a text amendment with a bunch of required conditions or what's before the commission right now? This is the same as a special use. And staff can suggest all the conditions they want, and they already did. So I don't know what the purpose of that would be.
Mr. City Engineer.
I did hear that we have the ordinance that prohibits them pretty much anywhere, but there are a lot of good reasons why to have someone camp out at any construction site. I've been a part of a lot of construction sites. Typically, it's one guy who maintains the equipment after the rest of everybody else leaves, and he's there almost as a night watchman. Because I've been on several job sites where you show up the next morning, some kids and vandalism created a mess, and it really not only is expensive, but can create a lot of havoc. So it's almost easier on the police department if you actually have at least one person staying there at any construction site where there's lots of equipment that can get messed with and that sort of thing. So if we do rewrite or make some sort of special writing in the future for all construction sites, I think we ought to at least consider allowing one person to be able to stick around for that purpose.
Commissioner Fowler.
Just one extra question, and this is for the applicant. The vehicles are going to be parked on the site, and like I said, there are other campsites available, and I think in discussions with fellow planning commissioners, the thought was, well, they're not going to drive back and forth from the campsite in those recreational vehicles. But realizing they're going to be there 3.5 months, that's a long time to sit a recreational vehicle. They must have some way of going out and getting supplies, food, et cetera. So are they planning to drive those recreational vehicles off? Are they going to have other vehicles available that they can drive back and forth, or how does that work?
The vehicles would not be coming and going on a regular basis. There'll be a person or two that has a normal vehicle that can car. Truck that they can drive and get supplies,
but they would
be there as well.
They would not be enough to drive them from, say, another campsite location that's nearby, 15, 20 minutes away. There's not enough room in those vehicles for them to be moving.
I'm not familiar with
someone
persons.
That could answer that question.
I'm not sure. I think it varies on who the volunteers are, what their recreational vehicle is versus.
Just their normal vehicles that they're going to have to go back and forth to get supply.
Yeah. Mark, how many people bring another vehicle besides the RV?
Well, it depends on some have motor homes, so they pull a vehicle behind. Otherwise, if you have a fifth wheel or a pull-along camper, you use your pickup truck.
Okay. So there could be room for everyone if they were off-site at another campsite, like a permitted campsite somewhere nearby.
Well,
that they could drive back to the site.
It's possible. The tool, yes.
Okay.
It's rather inconvenient because a lot of times, especially with the women, we have breaks and we have noon meals, and sometimes not all women are involved, and they would stay at the campground, and then they certainly would want to be at the time when we have breaks because a lot of times they provide us with the break.
Let's do this right. Would you mind coming forward and giving us your name and address for the record, please? Thank you.
Hi. My name is Mark Pamperin. I'm from 7850 Midland Drive, Allenton, Wisconsin. Allenton is about 40 miles northwest of Milwaukee, right along 41. Is this on?
Yes, we've got friends in Allenton.
Oh, you got friends, yes. We used to have the water tower that said it, but then they put up a new water tower, and
that says you don't
they don't have
friends.
That logo anymore. I'd just like to explain our organization a little bit. First of all, we're around for about 23, 24 years. We are called Builders for Christ. We're Wisconsin Synod Lutheran members, and we help Wisconsin Synod churches, especially the churches that are just getting started, smaller congregations, mission congregations, those congregations that are kind of in a financial bind, and we prioritize who we assist. Sometimes if we don't have a congregation that really has particular needs, we might go with a bigger congregation or a different type of construction. We kind of work with the contractor. We're like a subcontractor with the framing part of it or whatever we're asked to do. In this project here, the sanctuary is not being built by Builders for Christ. That's being done by another contractor, and then we are asked to do the framing for the classrooms, meeting rooms, the restrooms, the kitchen, whatever goes along with the, you know, a new facility. We are retirees. We are not all in the carpentry field. We are in different walks of life, but we are trained in what we are doing because we've been at it, some of us, for many years. I'm with Builders since 2001. I'm a retired dairy farmer, because a dairy farmer knows how to do everything, you know.
Actually, I don't, but okay, I believe you.
But anyway, I've been a project manager since 2007. There's approximately 6, 7, or 8 of us project managers, probably 100 to 200, somewhere in there, of bona fide builders. We're throughout the whole United States. We do projects throughout the whole continent, contiguous United States, especially here up in the upper Midwest, where we are the strongest. But besides Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, we've been in Montana, South Dakota, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, and we're just next month going to be in Oklahoma. I don't know if you got any more questions. No, the question really was with the driving to another campground. Okay, so one of our criteria is that we have, that the congregation provides us with a campsite because it is convenient for us to be there. Not all wives are participating. However, the wives participate kind of in the area. We have breaks. Our daily schedule is 7:30 to 4 o'clock or 4:30. We have breaks at 9:30, half an hour, a whole hour at noon, another break at 2:30. Women from the congregation and a lot of times the women from the builders, they assist in the break time and the serving of the noon meal. The congregation, that's another criteria. The congregation supplies us with a meal. We need camping and we need a meal from the congregation. That's our criteria. This coming summer, we do have other projects. Yes, there are 3 other projects that are being done. And in almost every case, we have the camping right on site. I know up at Wyawega, we were a mile off because it wasn't feasible to have it on site because the church was right in town. Trees in the way. What else?
So what you're telling us is you're well fed.
We kind of gauge our project by how much weight we gain.
Do you take Catholics as volunteers?
Do we what?
Take Catholics as volunteers too? I'll come and volunteer if I get fed. I made some statements early on, and it's the nature of having that 5-letter word under my name makes me have to look at the broader picture and look for the other issues that may be involved in a particular action in front of the common council. That's why I asked those questions. Did you look at an alternate campsite? Because, yes, this may not be a specific precedent, but the next person that comes to ask is certainly going to put it in our face. Does this provide an advantage to the church that we haven't given or won't have an opportunity to give to any other church? Those kind of issues. that's the nature of my questions. It's not that I don't support it. It's just I have to ask these questions, and people have to understand what are the issues that I see. So,
I believe in this project we are requesting 6 RVs, right? Could be maybe 7. Other projects we have from 12 to 16. Last year in Florida, I had 17. Right in town.
Okay.
We're used to being on site. We are.
Alderwoman Mayer.
I have a question. Is the campaign really 3 to 4 months, or is it a much shorter period of time?
I didn't quite hear the question.
For everyone who comes to work at the site, the length of time that from start to finish, is that 3 to 4 months?
Well, then, depends upon the size of the project. We're looking at this one, June, July, and August, 90 days. Okay. And our policy is, if we are not done, the congregation has to find somebody else to finish it. We're out of there. Because we all commit to that long, and then others have their schedules.
Does it vary between churches how much you're able to save the church the money? Like, in this particular case, how much do you feel you're saving?
I'm going to let Matt speak to that one, I think. Because we do keep track of our hours, but I know you got some figures like from past projects.
Right. I mean, we've saved anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 volunteer hours is what's typically put in. That can equate anywhere from $75,000 to $125,000. So it's substantial. That's why I was saying earlier, it's a critical component to the funding of this project.
This is a question for Joel, I guess. The original ordinance, that came about because of Harley Fest?
About the temporary camping?
Yes.
It's not an ordinance. It was just a statement by the Common Council.
That we weren't going to have
that camping. Temporary camping was not allowed in the city.
But it was around the time that Harley-Davidson was having
It was because Harley and the county was asking.
And they were looking at that because it was purely recreational, lots of campers.
The planning manager's letter at the time didn't state those. That was the character of what they were asking for, but it wasn't in the letter.
Okay. And then I just want to reiterate what the city attorney said to when I first found out about this. I went to the police chief, and he had no issues with it and was just going to give the okay, but he did want to, make sure that we checked with the city first before I gave any answers or anything. So so that no issues with the police chief as far as out in that area because there's nobody out there. So thanks.
By the way, I had a conversation with the building inspector. You're going to have some conversations with the building inspector. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Commissioner Haley.
I'll just say that after reviewing the materials in the staff report, I was quite taken aback. I've got a strong background in construction, and a whole bunch of alarms went off in my head. You seem to have a grip on that. The general contract, you have insurance, all those liability issues, they're not our purview. But
yeah, I'm totally comfortable with
it. I got 1,000 questions about how this works, but we'll just accept that it does. Yes. And you've done this before, and we can do that. And I will also say that I share very much the concerns that staff brought up in their memo. Sitting here and listening to the dialogue, I have a far better comfort level that these won't be issues. I mean, they are still problems that could happen. A lot of issues related to what could be on site. It sounds like the right mix of things, and potentially it could be done. I think maybe with the conditions that staff is recommending as assurances. It's very unique. It surprises me, but yet it's a formula that seems to work. And again, my biggest concerns from a planning perspective are risk, liability to city, setting precedents, appropriateness, those types of things. And I still have those concerns, although I think done a pretty good job of comforting me and that hopefully they won't be an issue. If you follow all the steps and you work with planning and building inspection and all that, hopefully you can go ahead and do this and not have major problems, issues. I can only stand back and watch. I'll be amazed.
I'm going to do this as the staff recommendation. Is there a motion to deny a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of temporary use parking and overnight occupation recreational vehicles by the workers for Builders for Christ, a 501c3 organization for the purpose of and during the construction of the Victory of Land Church? Is there a motion to deny? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve with similar language?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion?
As the recommendations of staff for clarification?
Yes.
Now,
I agree.
The ordinance has very few conditions and restrictions. Or the resolution, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion? Mr. Deagle, sorry.
The mayor noted he had talked to the building inspector. I had too. We hadn't gotten very many detailed comments from the building inspection department. There will probably be permits required for them, and they will probably have additional conditions as well. So additional permits and probably additional conditions from the building inspection department and from the health department. None of those are outlined in ours, so those would be in addition to the ones that we have in the draft resolution tonight.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
I see you, Mr. Fowler. What I'm looking for is that language should be in the conditions. Item 8 should be a condition that says applicant will comply with all associated conditions and fee structures as required by the health and building inspections departments.
I would just like to make that part of the motion.
Second to that motion.
I was the second.
I agree with that.
Okay, it's been approved. Well, let's do this legitimately. On the friendly amendment, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The friendly amendment is agreed to. On the main motion, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as amended signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Go forth and build. And don't misbehave.
Thank you very much.
Heck, I'm going to be retiring in a couple of months. I'm an electrician. Maybe I'll join you. I like to travel.
I'm a shade tree electrician.
Invite the mayor for dinner.
Okay. We're just moving along. Item 3C, Mike Lowry, President of Lowry Plastics Company. Installation of a 31-foot by 7-foot, that's an inside joke, 7-foot plastic pellet silo. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. This is a building move. Similar to the last comment we just made on the previous item, there'll be additional permits and approvals and probable conditions required from the building inspection department if the plan commission approves here tonight. So this is just one approval that they would need. Staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions. Again, we didn't get the detailed comments from the engineering department, building inspection department, until today. Those were at your desks. And there's a number of ways the plan commission could handle that if they wanted to. You could incorporate those in the resolution before us tonight. It's also our expectation that whatever happens here tonight, if it's approved, building inspection will require those as part of their permits and approvals as well. So staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions that are set forth in the resolution. Not as many as the building inspection department, but we are mentioning a couple of the same ones. For instance, that it has to be painted. We do have a time frame for that. Also that there would be a bond put aside in case there was any damage related to anything along the route of moving that silo from City of Milwaukee to the property here in the City of Franklin. The location, the property is shown on the aerial photograph on the screen. We're proposing it at the southeast corner of the building. From a site issue, we see no site concerns. They will have to come back for a minor site plan amendment, which can be administratively approved by staff. We'll need more details about how they're going to set that up there. But at this point in time, we suspect they'll be able to handle that properly. So we are recommending approval on the building move with a number of conditions. They will have to come back for a minor site plan amendment for the physical location of placing that on the property. We need some more details. And they will need to get some building permits and approvals from the Building Inspection Department. But we are recommending approval.
What is the height of the building?
Building is less.
Mr. Mayor?
Sure. Applicant, name and all.
Come on up, give us your name and address, please. I'm Mike Lowry, Premier Plastics.
No, I'm not Mike Lowry. I'm Ron Enniger, 9680 South Oakwood Drive. Franklin is our business address. The approximate center height of the building is 22 feet.
So 10 foot over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the silo is approximately 31 feet 7 inches.
The only other issue I had was making sure there was a distance between the outside of the silo and any fencing and the edge of the pavement so you get a fire truck around. That seems to be not be an issue. Questions from the commission?
Just a
Commissioner Fowler.
I'm assuming you're going to be hauling this vertical when you move it from the site in Milwaukee. I mean, excuse me, horizontally, vertical. I get that all back. Long day. It's been a long day. But you're going to be hauling it horizontally.
That is correct.
And I noticed in the inspection report that the City of Franklin, some of the conditions they have, I'm assuming when you sandblast, we're going to bring it back and you're going to set up, you're going to sandblast it and clear it up. I noticed, Joel, is there going to be inspection for any cracks in the structure after they've hauled it there and set it up after the sandblasting? I just didn't note it here. I just want to make sure that they inspect it for structural integrity after the sandblasting so they can see
it. I believe the Building Inspection Department will. They mentioned some things about holes, and they're going to follow up on that, so I'm assuming that they're also going
to
follow up on the
structural. I would just like that to be, for approval, I'd just like to make that a condition to be sure that they inspect. I'm sure they will, but I just would like to make sure they do it.
My assumption, my guess, would be the building inspector would be fine if we added all these as conditions.
Okay. I'd just like to add that condition, if that's possible. Because moving a structure like that has problems. I mean, not problems, but it's potential bumps.
Potential problems.
This needs to be inspected.
Condition number 4.
I'm sorry, did I not see it?
No problem. Commissioner Haley. Fowler's over there. Haley's over there.
Just for clarification, it states in here that you will paint it. Is it safe to assume that you'll be doing proper sandblasting, grinding, preparation to put a coat of paint on this? It'll look just like this in 6 months, as we all know. So I just like your assurance that it will be properly prepped and painted so we don't have an eyesore in a year.
And we've had 2 or 3 professional painting companies starting to come in and give us quotes. We've had at least one come in and do it. We've been granted to, I believe, May 1st to have it painted. So that won't be an issue. We've already talked to people to come in and paint it.
You going to paint the building?
No, to paint and then paint.
Commissioner Thinnes.
I just have a couple questions. The building is owned by somebody else, right?
Yes.
You're leasing the building.
Yes.
And they occupy, the owner of the building occupies the north portion of the building. Is that?
That is correct.
The arrangement that's there? And your letter here says that you are going to be having some aluminum equipment or aluminum tooling or something stored in this building. Will it also be used to store aluminum tools for Premier Plastics and finished goods?
It may have some. We are a thermoforming company as well, and one of the reasons we're moving this location is because of convenience. It's in the same industrial park.
Right.
So, you know, there may be on occasion that we'll have tooling that would vacuum forming as well.
Yeah, you're going to be processing these pellets into the sheets in this building?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay,
sir.
So this is actually a manufacturing or processing scenario here also?
Yes, sir.
Not just a storage?
No, it's for manufacturing.
Okay. That's all I
have. Now, you are aware that we do have some acreage left. We could certainly put a package deal together if you chose to consolidate your operations into one building.
And you know, if the price is right...
Let's talk. Commissioner.
Just a clarification, Mr. Mayor. I did read that number 4. My thought was it was the time of inspection. I guess it might be a question for the city engineer. I just would like them to make sure they clean off, that they sandblast, clean the structure, that they could see any faults or cracks in the structure. If that's not necessary, then my point is moot. But I just thought before the inspection should be timed, so after they've cleaned it and sandblasted before they paint it. I don't know, city engineer, do you think that's necessary or is that overkill?
If that's the intent, yeah, you could say after cleaning and blasting.
That was my intention.
Yeah.
Mr. Deedle.
Yeah, I was just going to note that, yes, it's been inspected as is right now.
Right.
So if your concern would be by cleaning might expose something that he wasn't able to visually see at this point in time.
Yeah. And after the move.
I think it's reasonable to assume that the owner would fix those because it doesn't help them.
They did want to know.
It was a problem. We're currently using the silo, so it's not leaking now.
Yeah, but you're going to hit it with some sandblasting and blast
whole tree.
Mr. City Attorney.
I dare say the building inspection department would do that as a matter of course.
Is there a motion to approve a resolution imposing conditions? Oh, sorry, wrong one. Is there a motion to approve a resolution conditioning approval of a building move to 9670 South 60th Street?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll get you a site for the building.
I look forward to it.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.